You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 12th of November, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rustjournal.org with us. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, I've been better. But I think at the end of the show today, everyone's going to realize how liberal the Department of Defense is. Men in uniform. This isn't 1975 anymore. It's not a conservative institution anymore. It hasn't been in a long time. And I think it's an old prejudice that some of our people have that military men are somehow on the right, and it's just not true.
Well, I think we can see that with the promotion of transsexuals in the military. I know that was one of the first things Trump did when he got in office, wasn't it? It was try to put a stop to the transsexuals in the military. Over here in Britain, we have the military promoting the rainbow flag and homosexual rights. So I don't think there are many that still hold this delusion that the military are right wing, but it does look like there may be some changes coming to the Pentagon. There has been a huge purge at the Pentagon. The defense secretary has been sacked. Donald Trump has fired his defense secretary, Mark Esper, in the latest sign that the transition to a new Biden administration in January is going to be turbulent on both the domestic and foreign fronts. Esper was fired by tweet on Monday afternoon, with the president declaring he was pleased to announce that Christopher C. Miller, the highly respected director of the National Counterterrorism Center, unanimously confirmed by the Senate, will be acting Secretary of Defense effective immediately. Chris will do a great job. Mark Esper has been terminated. I'd like to thank him for his service, Trump said. Esper had been at odds with Trump on a number of issues. Most importantly, his insistence at the height of the Black Lives Matter protests in the summer that there were no legal grounds to deploy active service troops on the streets of US cities. I mean, that is incredible that this was the guy that prevented all those riots from being stopped. I think it was $5 billion worth of damage was caused in those riots. I would not even be able to count up the number of people that were murdered during those riots, let alone the number of people that were injured. And Trump could have put a stop to it, but he listened to this idiot that was running the Pentagon at the time, who clearly was at odds against Trump. So finally, he has sacked the guy. And of course, the news report we're getting this from, all the mainstream media are pro Joe Biden. So they talk about a new Biden administration. I don't think there's going to be a new Biden administration. He's not the president elect. The current numbers look, they're both just about even with the recounts that are going on. So we'll have to wait and see for that. But what are your thoughts on this sacking of the defense secretary, Matt?
Well, if you remember, back in 2016, it was the Los Angeles Times that was the first to talk about a coup against Trump if he's elected. We had a whole show on Mattis, who we had as his defense secretary for a while. The one thing that the American media all of a sudden, you know, thinks that Trump is good on. What's going to happen here is this guy was an Heritage Foundation. This guy is deep into the industrial complex. This guy was a lobbyist. He was with Raytheon. I mean, he is everything that we despise. And what CNN is saying is that Trump is getting ready for a coup, despite the fact that it was the left, that it was the Los Angeles Times that first brought up the idea of getting rid of Trump if he is elected back in 2016. This is the first time I've ever remembered anybody, especially on the left, talking about using the military to get rid of get rid of Donald Trump. And now they're trying to blame Donald for the exact same thing.
So you think he's putting in a new defense secretary so they can't try and use the military to get rid of him? Because, of course, they will be projecting. If they're accusing Trump of planning a coup, what they mean is they're planning a military coup. They're trying to pull off a coup as it is with this election. I think the new guy that he's brought in there, I think he's been in trouble before for making non-politically correct tweets. So that's always a good sign. But it wasn't just the defense secretary that was given the sack. There were others that were given their marching orders too. Democrats and their allies are alarmed that President Donald Trump's firing of top Pentagon officials could be preparation for a military coup. But what looks more likely is that US troops might finally pull out from Afghanistan. In addition to Defense Secretary Mark Esper, whom Trump terminated on Monday, Esper's Chief of Staff Jennifer Stewart, Acting Policy Chief James Anderson, and Intelligence Undersecretary Joseph Kernan have also been shown the door. They were replaced by National Security Council counter-terrorist chief Christopher Miller, former NSC aide Kash Patel, General Anthony Tata, and another former NSC aide Ezra Cohen Watnick, respectively. The purge and the appointment of the officials, widely described in mainstream media as Trump loyalists, has led to Democrats and neoconservatives warning that a coup might be in the works against Joe Biden, who has claimed victory in the November 3rd election. How can the president carry out a coup? The coup that is going on at the moment is Joe Biden. He is the one that is sidestepping the Trump administration and talking to foreign leaders and making plans with foreign leaders as if he's going to be the next president, when he hasn't been confirmed as being the next president. The election is still in process. We still have races to actually announce who has won the race. We've got loads of lawsuits that are going on at the moment. There are hundreds of witnesses that have seen wide-scale fraud going on. The only coup that's happening at the moment is the Joe Biden coup. So, I mean, this is just blatant projection again, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, it's nothing new. I see the name Anthony Tata, who was removed in the past and now has been restated maybe, I think, in his old job. So they must have spoken in behind the scenes. I'm also seeing the last name Patel, which, of course, is your classic Indian name. Donald Trump has been very, very close to India. I don't know if you remember when Modi in New Delhi congratulated. He actually congratulated the vice president, Harris, by saying it's nice to have another Indian in office. And I started to laugh. I said, you know, this guy is it's like a slap now. He said, oh no, she's not black, she's Indian. And this is good. You know, India has always been very close to Donald Trump. That's one of his strongest international supporters, international and domestic. And saying that, oh yeah, she's an Indian, it's nice to have an Indian in there as vice president. This is not it wasn't a congratulations. In fact, it was something very pro Trump, saying, no, this woman isn't black, don't be excited about it. She's one of us. So when I'm seeing Patel and then Tata, which is an odd thing, and then, of course, Ezra Cohen, it's an interesting ethnic mix there.
I think Tata is an Indian name as well, isn't it? Isn't it an Indian steel company, or was it a British steel company that was taken over by Indians? I seem to think Tata has something to do with India. But how can they accuse a sitting president of carrying out a coup? I mean, that is just incredible, that. Well, there is no denying that the present political situation in Washington, with Biden claiming he won the election and Trump disputing that, citing irregularities in key states, is fraught with peril. Whatever the outcome, unless everything is handled above board and with transparency, half the country is going to feel cheated and disenfranchised. There are two things to keep in mind, however. Whatever one thinks of him, Trump has kept his word, implementing his electoral promises by working through the system, despite the obstacles thrown before him by the administrative apparatus, legislators, and the courts. So far, the current flurry of activity at the Pentagon seems to point towards a withdrawal from the Middle East, rather than a coup at home. Secondly, it was actually the Democrats, Joe Biden himself, who first brought up the notion of using the US military to forcibly remove Trump from the White House, should he lose but refuse to concede. That was in June, long before the election and its controversies. What did Biden know at the time to make him say that? Nobody knows, because nobody in the mainstream US media has bothered to ask, preferring to entertain partisan fantasies based on conjecture instead. And that's not the only thing that Biden said. I mean, he said that, they had built the most formidable electoral fraud machine ever seen before a while back, or words similar to that effect. So what we've got, two things here. Really, we've got Joe Biden signaling that something was going to happen with this election, and that they were going to accuse Trump of carrying out some kind of coup, and they were going to try and use the military. And the second thing is this withdrawal of troops from the Middle East. I mean, it's implying here that is more likely to be what happens. So why have they got that idea? Why do they think that this is going to ensure a withdrawal of troops from the Middle East, Matt?
I'm just wondering if the Biden, this sort of, you know, semi-Biden administration has already gone to the Israeli government and made promises. Because as you may have read, the Israelis have already, quote unquote, congratulated Biden on his so-called victory. Now, given everything that Trump has done for the Israelis, which is laughable, because, of course, they thanked him by giving him the finger. One of the first things that happened is that the Israelis had congratulated the Biden-Harris team. So he must have already given promises to the Israelis. I don't know what more you can do. I know Trump. I mean, Biden has already said that they're going to, you know, increase the amount of aid and everything else. So that would explain that part of it. But it's projection. You've already used the word. This is something where the mental health field can be very helpful. And dealing with liberals, that's always the case. Dealing with the left, and we just said that the military is on the left. And this is something I think Biden has finally figured out. The fear that Biden could ever actually have any power, it's bad enough that he was a senator and vice president. Vice presidents don't do much. But with that kind of incompetence that Biden shows, his ignorance and the fact that you don't know what he's going to say. He mentioned the electoral fraud machine. Well, the problem is we don't know what he meant, because he's so ignorant and losing his mind. We don't know what he's really talking about. So there's no way he's actually going to be president one way or the other. The regime is doing everything to get Kamala Harris in there, who, of course, had no popularity, is disliked by her own party because she's one of the first people to have dropped out of the race in the primaries. And the worst part of this whole thing is that whether it be Biden or Harris, the Democratic Party doesn't like either one of them. I remember when they were condemning over the crime bill, they were condemning Biden for his conservatism on crime and things like that. That he was considered a conservative Democrat back then. So his own party doesn't like him. So the whole thing has to be based on fraud, because these guys are not going to get out of their basements to go in and vote for a guy that they've already said that they don't like. I keep saying this. If he got more than 20%, it's pure vote fraud.
Well, he's been working with all sorts of people, making plans for when he is president. He's been talking to Boris Johnson, and they've been making plans to overturn the America pulling out from the Paris Climate Change Accord. He's going to try and reverse all the things that Donald Trump has done, basically, according to what he's been saying to these foreign leaders. But the White House itself hasn't actually been facilitating these conversations either. Biden has gone around the White House to carry out these conversations, which I think it breaks some kind of law. You're not supposed to do that, because one of the Trump team was accused of doing that when Trump was elected him. And I do have to commend Mike Pompeo, who did actually say something rather good. He said that there will be a smooth transition to the Trump team, not to the alleged president-elect Biden. I was very pleased at that, because I really don't like Mike Pompeo, and that's the first time he's ever said anything at all that I've actually agreed with him. So I have to give Mike Pompeo credit for that. Well, apparently this Esper, this former defense secretary, he had planned to leave anyway, despite the unceremonious and unconventional manner in which his departure was announced. Esper, who had served as the Secretary of Defense since 2019, had prepared a letter of resignation prior to the November 3rd presidential election, eliminating the possibility that his departure was somehow directly linked to that event. It is known that Esper had recently clashed with President Trump on a number of issues, including the renaming of U.S. Army bases named after officers who had served in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. The most likely reason behind Esper's departure, however, is that Trump fired him for a perceived act of disloyalty, the preparation of a resignation letter. John McEntry, the director of the White House Presidential Personnel Office, has reportedly informed all current Trump administration employees that they will be fired if it is found that they are looking for employment outside the administration. This move is more than likely designed to reinforce the notion currently promulgated by the White House that President Trump and not Democratic challenger Joe Biden has won the presidential election. So we've got two things there. Again, we can see here that they're going to get the sack if they start looking for work elsewhere, because that shows that they're not loyal. That shows that they're turncoats. That's a good thing. And also this Esper, I mean, he's really progressive, isn't he? I mean, he wants to change the names of the US Army bases from being named after the Confederate Army. So the fact that he wrote this defense letter, that was really just sort of handing Trump all he needed to get rid of him. I think it's quite clear Trump has probably been wanting to get rid of him since the summer and was just looking for an excuse. Wouldn't you say, Matt?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I really wasn't paying attention back then about Esper. I didn't realize what a liberal he was. Again, I still think there's this ridiculous prejudice that because he came up through the ranks, therefore he can't possibly be a liberal. But I know that that's not the case. And when I say that, I'm referring really to officers. I think enlisted men are a different story. But officers, once they get a taste of power and all the privileges that come with that, I think then they either approach or are approached by members of the regime, including, you know, corporate America and the media, saying if you want to be treated well, you're going to come over to our side, at least on these issues. And I really do think it's some kind of a very explicit negotiation. Now, when he hired Mattis, we had a show and we kind of came to the conclusion that it's a matter of keeping your enemies closer. I think maybe that was the case with Esper too, but given the circumstances, I don't think it's the case with the new guy, Chris. So, Trump now is letting it, you know, is doing everything he possibly can to maintain, law enforcement, whether military or police, on his side. And yeah, Pompeo, for the first time ever, said something of great intelligence. But remember, both Miller and Esper are lobbyists connected to the corporate America and to the system. You know, Miller was also talking about, you know, attacking Iran. And so all these guys are bad. But I think ultimately it comes down to the violence a few months ago and the ability to use troops domestically. If governors and mayors absolutely refuse to follow their oath of office and use violent force to keep these people at bay. And my opinion is, you know, you shoot a couple of them, you know, law enforcement shoots a couple of them, and they are going to run home. They're on the streets in large numbers because they don't think anything's going to happen. They've been told that. When that changes in their minds, you're going to have just a handful of hardcore activists in the street. Otherwise you're going to be there in huge numbers. I think that's what's happening here too.
Well, Mitch McConnell as well, he's stayed loyal to Trump as well. He's pointed out that only the legal votes need to be counted and the illegal votes need to be thrown out. I know that the press are doing all they can to drive a wedge between the Republicans, but that doesn't seem to be working. Well, let's have a look at what the new defense secretary is like. This is his official biography here. Earlier this year, he performed the duties of the assistant secretary of defense for special operations low intensity conflict. He also previously served as the deputy assistant secretary of defense for special operations and combating terrorism. Mr. Miller was responsible for overseeing the employment of special operations forces in counterterrorism, military information support operations, information operations, unconventional warfare, irregular warfare, direct action, special reconnaissance, foreign internal defense, counterproliferation, sensitive special operations, and personnel recovery hostage issues as specified by the Secretary of Defense. Mr. Miller was sworn in as the DASD for SOCT on January the 6th, 2020. From March 2018 through December 2019, Mr. Miller served as the Special Assistant to the President and Senior Director for Counterterrorism and Transnational Threats at the National Security Council, the NSC. In this position, Mr. Miller was responsible for strategic-level policymaking and implementation, and support to senior NSC and White House leadership. Well, there's a lot there. And the thing that stands out to me is personnel recovery and hostage issues. I guess they'll need that if ASAP Rocky gets arrested in Sweden again. Didn't they have special hostage negotiators to arrange to get one of your favorite rappers back to America? Matt, that's about all I can pick out from this. You'll have to help us out here with some more details.
Well, I think everyone knows that my favorite rapper is J-Rock from Trailer Park Boys. So I need to correct you in that regard. But the thing that stands out to me is information operations. Information operations generally refers to propaganda. And here another one, military information support operations, special reconnaissance, unconventional warfare. These are things having to do with changing minds, the collection and control of information. This is almost a media thing. Using a guy like this who has a specialty in information warfare, that has everything to do with how the media is covering this stuff. And he's afraid that the regime will use, whether it be mercenaries or whatever, to engage in terrorism domestically and somehow blame that on Trump or the right wing. I've been predicting that for a long time. So Miller, being a specialist in this area, makes a lot of sense as his pick here. I think this has more to do with domestic issues than actual, foreign warfare. So I think, and this really didn't even occur to me until just now, that the information issues or propaganda or changing minds, whatever it is, that's the real reason this guy has been picked.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Let's have a look at Biden's pick, or who we think Biden might be picking. Michelle Flournoy, the Undersecretary of Defense for Obama for Policy. An Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy under President Bill Clinton, Michelle Flournoy was the principal author of the May 1997 Quadrennial Defense Review, the QDR, which laid the ideological foundation for the endless wars that followed. Under the defense strategy, the QDR effectively announced that the United States would no longer be bound by the UN Charter's prohibition against the threat or use of military force. It declared that when the interests at stake are vital, we should do whatever it takes to defend them, including, when necessary, the unilateral use of military power. The QDR defined US vital interests to include preventing the emergence of a hostile regional coalition anywhere on Earth and ensuring uninhibited access to key markets, energy supplies, and strategic resources. By framing the unilateral and illegal use of military force all over the world as defending vital interests, the QDR presented what international law defines as aggression, the supreme international crime, according to the judges at Nuremberg, as a form of defense. I will just stop there, Matt, because we can go into this in a little bit more detail. I mean, what that is saying there is that they can use force against anybody that is sort of planning on setting up a Nord Stream 2 pipeline, isn't it? Or anybody that is promoting peace between Russia and China and a coalition. I mean, this says that they can use force for any reason, doesn't it?
Yeah. This woman, I still think, is on Biden's mind, even though technically it hasn't been released who he's going to throw out there. Flournoy is has no military experience. She has no knowledge of military life, which shouldn't surprise anybody. But all she cares about is justifying the use of force to install liberal and leftist leaders around the world. The fact when she was with the Obama administration, she was very interested in destroying Vladimir Putin should not be a surprise to anybody. Needless to say, she also is deeply involved in the industrial complex in corporate America. The woman essentially, has been pushed through, pushed through her classes at Harvard, really is not, claims to be an academic. And I think it's also important to note that she comes from a family. Her father, George, was in Hollywood. He was a cinematographer and he worked on shows, The Odd Couple, for example. So that family is deep into Hollywood and projecting ideology on the screen. That means something to me. And I think that's one of the reasons that that she's here specializing in this, acting, or her whole family has done it, I don't think is completely irrelevant. In fact, her high school was in Beverly Hills. She went to Beverly Hills High School. So she's deeply into that whole Hollywood world.
Hollywood's always been involved with military intelligence, hasn't it? And psychological engineering. I momentarily forget the word of it there. The psychological warfare and the propaganda. The two work together, don't they? Well, Flournoy's career has been marked by the unethical spinning of revolving doors between the Pentagon, consulting firms helping business procure Pentagon contracts, and military industrial think tanks like the Center for a New American Security, which she co-founded in 2007. In 2017, Flournoy and President Barack Obama's Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken founded their own corporate consulting business, West Executive Advisors, where Flournoy continued to cash in on her contacts by helping companies successfully navigate the complex bureaucracy of winning enormous Pentagon contracts. But the articles, papers, and reports that Flournoy and CNAS have published for two decades reveal that she suffers from the same chronic malady as the rest of the Washington foreign policy blob. She pays lip service to diplomacy and multilateralism, but when she has to recommend a policy for a specific problem, she consistently supports the use of military force that she set out to politically legitimize in the 1997 Quadrennial Defense Review. So if he gets her in there, it's just going to be more of the same. It's just going to be more wars, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, that's the whole point of me mentioning her. This is back in May that this was written and has largely been forgotten. I think it's been forgotten on purpose. This woman is not really an academic. She doesn't write like one or talk like one. She's given that kind of mystique, but only because she is she's going to give, you know, a pseudo intellectual justification for a war, especially against China. She just published something on the possibility of war with China. And when you connect that with the state of the economy on the one hand and her connections with corporate America and the defense sector on the other, this woman is an absolute disaster. And it makes a lot more sense as to why someone like Chris Miller, who does information warfare, would be tapped as someone who can be kind of her. I mean, they're not totally dissimilar, but it makes more sense now.
Well, let's have a look at her record with the Iraq War. In June 2002, as Bush and his gang threatened aggression against Iraq, Flournoy told the Washington Post that the United States would need to strike preemptively before a crisis erupts to destroy an adversary's weapons stockpile, before it could erect defenses to protect those weapons or simply disperse them. When Bush unveiled his official doctrine of preemption a few months later, Senator Edward Kennedy wisely condemned it as unilateralism run amok and a call for 21st century American imperialism that no other country can or should accept. In 2003, as the ugly reality of preemptive war plunged Iraq into intractable violence and chaos, Flournoy and a team of Democratic hawks co-authored a paper titled Progressive Internationalism, to define a smarter and better brand of militarism for the Democratic Party for the 2004 election, while portrayed as a path between the neo-imperial right and the non-interventionist left. It asserted that Democrats will maintain the world's most capable and technologically advanced military, and we will not flinch from using it to defend our interests anywhere in the world. I think that tells us what the interests, what their interests are, doesn't it? Progressive internationalism. That was the title of the paper. Matt, what are your final thoughts on this? And also, I see you say here that you predict that Biden's Pentagon staff will almost be 100% female. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, I had completely forgotten about that. Again, this is back in May. If you go to defensenews.com, they give a list of everything that Biden, if he's elected, is going to do with the Pentagon. And it seems odd that that everyone, with I think one or two exceptions, and everybody he's going to staff the Pentagon with is female. I find that very odd. None of them have any military experience. Many of them are, you know, pseudo academics. And also want to remind everybody that they were talking about Trump purging the Pentagon also back in May. Taskandpurpose.com has an article from back then talking about this possible purge. What they don't note, of course, is that Obama purged the Pentagon at the end of his second term, as did George Bush Jr. So this is nothing new. They were trying to promote the idea of a Pentagon purge back in the late spring, and it didn't go anywhere. So they kind of dusted this thing off now, and are using it to try to attack Trump. This is something that no one is talking about. There's a good reason for this, I think, from their point of view. This is, you know, this pseudo-intellectual nonsense. These women are just simply promoting, and I think there's a certain propaganda element here. You know, if they're female, they're not as aggressive as men, so they could be, the stuff is more tolerable. There's always a propaganda thing here, but I think the one thing to keep in mind always is that information warfare seems to unite all of these people. It has nothing to do with military, nothing to do with international relations. None of these people are particularly knowledgeable, at least especially on Biden's side. None of them are. She was opposed. Mitt Romney said that Russia was the number one enemy of America. And this woman said, well, you know, the Cold War has been over for some time. So it's not true. Stupid things like this, suggesting that she really doesn't know. But this affirmative action way to staff the Pentagon has everything to do with propaganda and certainly not knowledge and not actual military ability.
Well, let's hope that Trump does bring the troops back out of Afghanistan before January. I mean, that would be good to see. That'd be a nice Christmas present for the American troops. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.